Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Jason Pavona, who is the CEO of Payzian, a brand new entrant in this interesting world of payments. Hi, Jason. Welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Karen, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So it's exciting stuff, and I thought we'd first start out with something that hopefully isn't a hard question. What is Payzian all about? Tell us.
So Payzian really is a business idea that myself and co-founder David Burrow have been working on for the last 6 or 7 months. And it came to us really based on the fact that we feel that the space, really from a merchant standpoint, still has a lot of confusion. And being a merchant, as the payment landscape changes and also the ecosystem changes, it's really difficult for them to make decisions on what partners to use, what products to use. Should they choose a fraud product? Which fraud products should they have? Who's the best acquirer to use in each region? Should they add alternative payments? Should they use this affiliate network or the other? And how are they really trying to find the best customers for their products and maintain those customers over the long term? And so all of these different pieces, as you look at the cost of acquisition for a particular customer, merchants need to make sure that they can maintain that relationship with a consumer for a long period of time and make sure that they have a long-standing, profitable relationship. And that really revolves around how they're taking payments in a lot of ways and how they're maximizing those different relationships. And so we see a very clear need from a merchant standpoint to look out for that. And Payzian's goal is really to help, as we talked about, demystify really the payment ecosystem for them and provide them with data and information to help them really make decisions over the lifetime of their relationships with all the different partners and vendors within the space.
Interesting. So you're going to advise merchants on the kinds of things that they might need to do that really help them do a better job of running their business overall. Is that sort of the deal?
Absolutely. And so if you look at, you know, one of the first key trends that we've seen in the space as we've seen the proliferation of different providers of services, especially for middle market and larger merchants where they have different payment providers by region, there's a tremendous need and problem around just reconciling transactions across those different vendors and making sure that from as simple as they're getting paid for those transactions to those transactions are happening in the appropriate and the best fashion. And so what we see is that there's many ways in which you can help advise and automate a lot of that across the board, not only from internal processes, but also external processes.
Interesting. Now, isn't this being done today by the acquiring business and some of the ISOs that are serving as merchants?
Absolutely. So I think that there are things within the processing and acquiring markets that are happening from an individual basis. I think that one of the trends that we've seen is a desire for merchants to have multiple relationships as they grow, not only for redundancy, but also for regional support as they grow from a global basis. What that means is that there's a whole set of other problems that come about with that. So it's, you know, from an IT standpoint and connecting into those different services and provisioning those services, from an accounting standpoint, reconciling those different services. So as an example, if you have a processor in the U.S., a processor in Canada, and a processor in Europe, you have to make those connections, you have to monitor those connections, you have to get the reporting information about each one of those regions and pull them all together. And as you can imagine, then layer on top of that the alternative payments that you may want to use within those regions. So the question starts to arise, should I use these alternative payments? Should I actually domicile in those different areas? What becomes even more interesting over time is how you start to maximize those relationships. And from what we've seen in a lot of these cases is, you know, merchants aren't experts on payments, right? And they need support, they need information, they need data, and they need a roadmap, right? And so once that gets in place, helping to automate a lot of those services and helping them get those transactions to the right place really is important to them over time. What you'll find, and I think what we see, is that in our minds, a lot of the alternative payments and a lot of the changes within the industry actually have been stifled by the fact that reporting reconciliation and connections into those different points actually is very difficult. And when you have a CFO and an IT person trying to get together to decide how to maximize those relationships, a lot of times the response is, I just can't do it. And so we actually believe with the advent of our technology, our services, that you will see a greater adoption of alternative payments and mechanisms within the payment ecosystem.
Interesting. Well, there'll be a lot of alternative payments players rooting for you if that's the case. I take the point that merchants, you know, really just want to run their business, sell stuff, service clients, and all of this becomes very, very complicated to sort through and make good decisions, especially, as you point out, when things go cross-border, and that becomes just a further complicated situation for them to have to deal with. Let me ask you, so you obviously scored some funding from Worldpay and Bain. Congrats on that. I know you're not talking about how much, but they obviously saw the opportunity that you just described. Was there something in particular that they got excited about?
Yeah, I think, Worldpay is an amazing organization with global reach. And what they have, the privy to in a lot of cases is the fact that the world is getting more and more complicated. And the merchants that they serve have a tremendous challenge on their hands in order to support all these different regions and reporting. And I think what they've really started to understand on their own was that, this complication actually can be turned into an advantage. And so working with businesses like Paysian will help them really grow and understand and be able to leverage those different services across their different customer base. And so it's it's really a win-win situation where they get to work with some new technologies, introduce those into their client base, and then grow with us. And what we love about that organization is that it's really a merchant-first organization. They have a tremendous dedication to open data, open environment around bringing products and services into the ecosystem to make it really work. And I think over time, that's really the only way that this industry continues to grow. There's so many interesting players out in the marketplace that really can't get traction. In part, that is because of this closed environment that's been created by the acquirers and the other service providers within the space, which, partly is to protect their own turf, but also partly because of the lack of technology that are within these organizations. And so, our goal, along with Worldpay, is to continue to open that up and, hopefully broaden the transaction base and the merchant base and the people in the space that really want to see it grow.
So do you, I know your goal was to be perceived as an advocate for the channel. Is that
Absolutely.
How you think you'll be perceived?
That's our hope. I mean, I think as we build the product, as people start to see what we're really doing and providing to the merchant, that open and trusted environment will be a necessity. And nothing that we do from a partnership standpoint, from a global distribution standpoint, should harm that. But that's that will always be a something that we fight for from a organizational standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, and from a work standpoint.
Sure. I mean, if your customer is the merchant, there's always going to be natural tension between the channel sometimes and the merchant, and you'll obviously evolve and work that out as the business evolves.
Question. Yeah, I think the interesting. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I think the interesting thing is that when you look at that tension, in my mind, it's usually a tension for players that don't have the quality of service. And in my mind, what we'll bring to the forefront is really a flight to quality, and that the merchants will have an ability to understand, who really is the best provider for them. And the great thing about payments and all the service providers that are around payments is that each merchant is very specific, and one service may not work for another. And so what hasn't happened in the industry is someone sitting in the middle to help understand that and bring that to life. So I don't actually think that it will I think the great thing about it is that merchants and service providers will really know where they need to improve, and I actually think that it will help service providers and vendors build their own roadmaps on how they want to improve their business and where they don't.
Interesting. Now, I know this is still a young venture, and sometimes new ventures haven't figured out business models and monetization mm-hmm. schemes yet. Have you? And if so, how do you plan to monetize the service?
Yeah. So, I mean, like any new venture, we're looking at a number of different models and working that through, you know, some of our early customers that we're working through the product with. And I think that there'll be a combination of a few things from a transactional basis and also from a subscription basis. And as we kind of build different products on top of the platform, that will change. But, you know, it'll absolutely be a recurring revenue-type model that's transactional-based or subscription-based.
Now I know why Bain liked it.
Yeah, well, it's, it's a popular model, and I think the, you know, for the most part, it's something that the industry understands, and
yeah.
You know, a CFO and a merchant understands, and so, you know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're, you know, we're really trying to build a quality product that provides value inside a merchant. And, you know, we're going to have to fight every day to make sure that we're creating that value and improving our product, because there's no shortage of competition and no shortage of innovators in the space that want to, capture market share and capture the eye of the merchant.
So I know you've been in the space for a long time, and you know the players and know the dynamics of the space, but I'm curious, now that you're a founder of a new venture that's taking a little bit of a different approach to the business and even the customers that you're serving and some of the things that you may be doing, what is different about the role that you're playing now?
I don't think it's that different than what we were doing when we were building Vital, except for the fact that there's, you're making sure you're taking the livelihood of people and employees in your hands, right? And you're trying to build a business and make it successful for the merchants, the employees, and the shareholders. And so, I don't think that changes from being in management of one company to being a leader, right? I think from my standpoint, it's about creating a vision, creating a great culture that people want to come and work at our business, and creating a world-class product that people want to use. And if we can accomplish those three things, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll be successful.
So last question.
With a little bit of luck, of course.
Well, you know, it sounds like you've got a great foundation for a lot of things. And, you know, luck, I guess, plays a little bit of a role. Timing, more than anything, I think, is what people often confuse. Luck, the timing of this. Timing of this sounds pretty good.
Last question. As you thought about this and taking this responsibility on and developing this business as your own, is there an innovation or an innovator that inspired you, either in this industry or outside the industry, that you may draw inspiration from?
You know, I think it's an interesting question. It's and I think somewhat of an odd answer. I grew up with a family that was incredibly entrepreneurial, and grew up in my father's factory driving a forklift. And watching him, struggle to build businesses over years with, some successful and some failures, which is great. And I think what I took away from that is you've got to be fearless, and you've got to believe in what you're doing, and most importantly, you got to surround yourself with great people, and then give them the tools to really help build and succeed. And so that lesson around really bringing people around you that you can trust and help succeed is really the one thing that I took from him, and really, really the inspiration for me really going out and doing this on my own.
Well, it sounds like a very inspiring story, and you certainly grew up in an environment where you saw the good and the bad and the toughness. It's hard to be an entrepreneur. As someone once said to me, who had just passed an important milestone with his business, he said, I'm the 9-year overnight success. People don't see the 9 years. They only see the one point in time when things come together. So
that's right.
I think it's the fearless, it's kind of knowing what you're in for, right?
That's right. And I think in getting that team around you that shares that vision and also wants to and is willing to kind of be in that position, right? It's not for everybody. And, it's absolutely, as you suggested, it's great when, everything's going well and people are congratulating you. And it's lonely when, you have tough decisions to make and things aren't going as well. And with any startup, there's always ups and downs, right? And the challenge is living through the peaks and surviving the downturns, right? And making sure that in every case you're level-headed and you're supporting a team and making sure that you're building the right product and always thinking about the merchant and what they need. And I think as we build our business, I think what you'll see is that it's merchant first, like helping them manage the process of understanding the ecosystem and the products and services that are out there, providing them the data and access and information to make quality decisions, and learning from them as most of all to build a product.
Well, Jason, thanks for spending a few minutes with us in what I know is a very, very busy time. Congratulations on Payzian, and we look forward to being right there with you to talk about your success as the business evolves. So you'll never be lonely as long as there's payments.com here.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always great to catch up, and all the stuff you do is wonderful, so we're happy to be a part of it.
Thanks, Jason, and we'll talk soon. Thank you again.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, so that was great, Jason. I thought that was really, really good. So we'd certainly love to stay in touch, and it sounds like, some of the stuff that you're going to get will be great data that we would, of course, love to figure out, at the point in time when it's appropriate, months from now. It would be fun to talk to you and get caught up about some of the trends that you're seeing and how you're establishing return on investment, because I think those are interesting things that will probably draw a lot of attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think that there's a we'd love to, as we really start bringing out the product from a visual standpoint, kind of walk you through it and show you how merchants are using it. But I think that what you'll find is that there's some very key problems inside the financial suite of organizations that deal with payments, right? And that's not being addressed by the current providers. Their goal, candidly, is to get the transaction through and making sure that's as efficient as possible. And I think there's very few that are focused on actually maximizing those transactions and bringing products that the merchant wants outside of a pure transaction.
Right. Well, sounds really great. I know it's going to be a lot of work, but got a good co-founder, and I'm sure you'll have no trouble attracting your great team. So we'll let you get back to doing what you need to do, and we'll catch up with you later.
Absolutely, Karen. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks.